the simple answer, and maybe the obvious answers, are it's schedules get changed and things get disrupted, and then the weather also conspires against us. It's a time of year that's arguably the most favorable for viruses to survive outside the pig, and so to somehow find their way from one herd to another.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Hi-D from DSM Firmenich can improve your pig's vitamin D status. Hi-D offers pure, proven performance to help your pigs thrive. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. AccuFast, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Start creating your future today at AccuFastSwine.com. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Healthy Farms by Bioverse, your manure management experts. Biosecurity, take the right steps to keep your pigs healthy. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and I'd like to introduce our guest today, Dr. Darrell Holtkamp. Dr. Holtkamp is a professor in the Department of Veterinary Diagnostics and Production Animal Medicine in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Iowa State University. Welcome back to our show, Dr. Holtkamp. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. How are you doing, Tara?
Doing well, doing well. Well, I'm excited to talk about this really important topic with you. And so Dr. Holtkamp is going to share his advice on how to ensure biosecurity during holiday downtime. So with the holidays fast approaching, what a great topic to remind us to keep biosecurity at the forefront at all times. So Dr. Holtkamp is an expert in the area of biosecurity. He has numerous publications and presentations helping producers and veterinarians identify high priority hazards and implement control measures on swine farms. So we're excited to have him back on our show. So Dr. Holtkamp, before we get started, will you just share with the audience a little bit of your background and maybe a quick summary how you progressed into this role as an advisor on biosecurity?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up on a small farm in southeast Iowa and went to Iowa State, got a bachelor's and master's degree in economics there, and then decided I wanted to be a veterinarian and went back and got my DVM. And so my career has been spent at a lot of different places. I spent some time at Smithfield Foods right out of school, and then came to Iowa State, was on the faculty there for a couple of years, and left actually, and then worked for a string of startup companies, including MetaFarms, and then worked for a biotech company in Houston, and then ended up back at Iowa State in 2006 on the faculty there. And recognized early on, and actually even before I came back to Iowa State there, the importance of biosecurity. And Tara, not a day goes by where I'm not more convinced that it is the one thing we really need to focus more resources on. I think we give it a lot of lip service, but when it comes down to spending the time and the money and other resources on it, I think sometimes it gets second fiddle. So I would say for 20 years at least, I've really kind of focused on that. Early on, we spent a lot of time trying to come up with surveys to help people assess where the risk might be, and generally found that a bit unsatisfactory for trying to answer questions like where do we need to prioritize and spend our money to improve biosecurity. And so that's why in the last several years, I've kind of evolved to focus more on conducting outbreak investigations. And we really do those more as what I would describe as a biosecurity hazard analysis. And I use that terminology intentionally because a lot of the concepts that we use for that are adapted from HACCP, or Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point concepts in the food industry. And so that's kind of the background, I guess, or a little bit of history on my career, Tara. I guess that brings us to the topic today.
A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes methionine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, why are the holidays specifically a challenging time for biosecurity? So kind of, you know, we're bringing this sort of special episode to just have everybody on the shoulders. But, you know, why during the holidays?
Yeah, I'd say the simple answer and maybe the obvious answers are schedules get changed and things get disrupted. And then the weather also conspires against us. It's a time of year that's arguably the most favorable for viruses to survive outside the pig and so to somehow find their way from one herd to another. And so a little bit, I guess, let's dive into that a little bit more, though. And that is what's the problem when our schedules change and things get disrupted? And, you know, the way we kind of approach that when we do outbreak investigations is we think in terms of the three failures. So it's sometimes referred to that as a three failures concept. And the idea is that for a pathogen to get transmitted to a herd, there's three failures that have to happen. The first is that something that's going to carry it, that could be a pig or a person or a truck or some other object, has to get contaminated, and specifically with live infectious virus. And so if that failure happens, then the second failure that has to occur then is a failure to mitigate that, right? And whether that be intentional or not, in the wintertime, even if you if you don't do anything, there's a good chance that virus will still be there. In the summer, you know, we get a little bit of grace because the sun and heat are going to work in our favor. The third failure then, though, is once what we call a pathogen carrying agent, whatever's carrying that virus, shows up at the farm, it has to get from that to a pig in the herd, at least one pig, right, to get an index case going. And that, sometimes I think we overlook that a little bit. That, you know, requires a pretty big leap. We have to get first of all, a minimum infectious dose. It has to get through an appropriate route of entry. So that could be through the oral, through the pig's mouth, or intranasal, whatever it takes for that specific virus. And so that third failure has to happen as well. And so when you look at it in light of that three failures concept, and you start thinking about, well, okay, when people start taking shortcuts, when they have less time to do things, when they change schedules and things like that, it really can impact all three of those failures, right? That we may be more likely to contaminate or infect pigs. So that would lead to the first failure. We're probably going to spend less time or be in a hurry to do some of the procedures that are in place that are designed to try to mitigate that contamination. And then finally, the third, we're going to do things maybe that we normally wouldn't do at the farm that would lead to that pathogen maybe getting into the herd and infecting pigs there. And so that's kind of how I look at it, I guess. And so, you know, we'll talk a little bit later maybe about how to deal with that. But I think it does, just to preview that, or maybe give a spoiler alert here, I think we need to spend more time when we do training, we need to spend more time teaching people how to identify, you know, when those failures are going to happen, and specifically, what are the hazards, or when are they creating hazards that are going to lead to those failures?
Right. And, you know, when it comes to swine farms, right, we rely on people to do, you know, all the processes, right? So, you know, and during this time of year, right, there's people taking vacation. And so we often run in farms with short staff. So how does that affect, and how can we, you know, overcome that?
Right. Tara, it's important to recognize that, right. Theory or concept from lab safety training called the hierarchy of control measures. And the idea is that not all control measures are the same. And this, you know, completely applies or perfectly applies to biosecurity. And the idea is that the best is to eliminate the hazard altogether. The second best is to automate it, right? So you do things that don't involve people doing things. And at the bottom of the pyramid is things that people are involved in, right? In other words, people have to do something right for them to work. And so those are arguably the least effective. When you look at the pig industry, what do we have? That's almost all of our biosecurity control measures are of that nature, right? Administrative. They involve people doing something right. And that's not by accident. The engineering controls that involve automating things costs money, right? And they, in some cases, the technology is not even there to do things that might be effective. But ultimately, you know, if you could imagine, what if we could automate everything and take people completely out of the pig production process, right? We wouldn't worry about the holidays, right? Everything would kind of work like clockwork. But we're a long ways from that, and I don't anticipate we'll get anywhere near that, at least in my lifetime. But it does, I would say, there arguably is a trend towards that. But again, because the pig industry is a low margin business, it's a Walmart type business where high volume, low margins, making those capital investments is a big leap. And so that's going to happen slowly. So the reality is today, where are we? Well, we have people involved in all these things, right? And so we have to figure out a way to get people to do what we would like them to do or what we expect them to do.
Absolutely. So what can we do, kind of digging in a little bit with the people? How can we, work to mitigate those risks around the holidays with people?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think, probably the immediate thing you can do as a supervisor or a veterinarian that works for a company is to just remind the people doing the day-to-day processes that, look, here's what's happening, right? We're coming into the holiday season. Of course, hopefully they know that, but remind them that what that means, right, is that, you're going to have short days and schedules are going to get changed and you're going to try to speed things up and remind them that that's, potentially going to create biosecurity hazards. And again, this goes back to what I mentioned earlier there. Training them how to recognize those things should be a year-round activity, right? And if it is, then when we come into the holiday season, it's just a matter of reminding them, right? If we're starting from scratch here, I worry that may be a bit of a challenge, right? And in fact, the truth is that I would say arguably many times we do that. We remind them and it's not necessarily going to have a lot of impact unless we've already got their mindset, sort of set on, okay, I need to be cognizant of when I'm doing something that's going to create a biosecurity hazard and hopefully maybe I can recognize something I can do to mitigate that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're relying on, new concepts during this time of year, that's probably not being proactive, right?
No, probably too late, huh?
Yeah. So, having talked with you, in a lot of occasions about biosecurity, we often talk about, this concept of layering. Can you talk about that and, just maybe describe how that might help mitigate some of the steps of the carrying agent and the layering concept?
That's, and I would say that layering, that concept of layering becomes increasingly important around the holidays, right? Because the idea is that layering, if you make one mistake, if your biosecurity system is set up so that if one mistake happens, you're going to introduce a pathogen, that's not a very robust biosecurity system, right? It's going to be prone to failure because people make mistakes. Everybody does. And so the idea of layering is you have multiple control measures where multiple things have to go wrong for something bad to happen, right? And so it may be to use an entry, employee entry as an example, you may have, let's say, a booty station at the door where you sit down on a chair, feet on a rug, you put on some polypropylene surgical type booty over your shoes and step off the rug, and you do that on both feet. And so that rug kind of serves as a first line of separation there, if you will. And then maybe the second layer would be a bench. And so you go to the bench and you take off your shoes one at a time and swing your legs over without setting your foot back down on the dirty side of the bench. And then now you're in your socked feet in hopefully what's probably a pretty clean area yet, if you've got all these places, steps in place. And then the third layer then becomes a shower, right? And so you go through the shower and go through. So a system like that would have three layers that, if you did perhaps come in with something on your shoes that you picked up at another farm or maybe even on the driveway in, there's a good chance you're gonna prevent that from getting into the office and then finally to the pigs in the herd. So that's an excellent example there. And so in the holidays, if they rush through the shower, hopefully we maybe picked it up at the booty station or the bench then.
one other thing that I've noticed during the holidays is that, you know, sometimes we change transport schedules, right? So we normally would have these wean days and, you know, the pigs arrive on these days, but let's say that's Christmas. And so, you know, we might change that. And so that changes then kind of the routine at the truck wash and changes maybe the trailer that are used. And so all of those things kind of have this cascading effect and sort of this layering effect. So I know that not just on the farm and not just the processes on the farm, but all of the things that encompass movements, right? Trailers included.
And to go back to that three failures concept, Tara, so now we've set it up so that it's perhaps more likely we're going to contaminate those trailers or the tractors or the trucks, I should say, or the drivers, right? But what's also happening around the holidays is the truck wash schedule might get changed and they may, you know, be off, take days off for the holidays. And so that sort of backup that we may have had in place to get, you know, to mitigate that if it happened, now that's also compromised. And then maybe, you know, for the third failure at when we load those pigs, maybe that gets done faster than it would have otherwise. And if they're using any sort of type of staged loading, they may not do that exactly like they normally do. And so, you know, we're compromising all three of those. And so, you know, when you think of it that way, it's really not surprising when every year around the holidays, we start to see a spike in outbreaks. It's just, you know, I think if we continue to do it that way, right, we shouldn't expect anything different. So,
yeah, I agree. So what about planning? So, you know, discussing, you know, planning for the worst, right? So maybe going through some of those types of scenarios before the holidays approach. I think that's really important, but I'm not sure that that's done very often or maybe if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's not human nature to actually plan ahead very well. So you're finding that, but it's, you know, I've had opportunities over the last several years to do a lot of outbreak investigations. And one of the things I see consistently happen is, you know, they may have a well-designed facility. They may have the appropriate resources there to get things done in a way that doesn't create a lot of biosecurity hazards. And the operational procedures may even be designed well, right? And when things go as normal, right? When as expected, the problem arises when something unusual happens, right? Something breaks down, water line busts or electricity goes out, whatever it is, something unusual happens. And, you know, all that goes out the window, right? And now you got to figure out how do I bring this welder in that's just been on another positive farm? I had no plan in place to do that, right? But I got to get this done. So here we go, right? And I see that happen over and over and over again. And I have also seen companies, once they recognize that, plan for those things, right? And so they, for example, might have a room they've designated specifically for bringing in large equipment and even in some cases, doing repairs in that room. And they kind of treat it as a transition room where, you know, when the repair people are in there or when the dirty supplies come in, they treat it as a dirty room, but then they transition it at some point to a clean room again. And so they have a plan in place basically for those things to deal with those things like that. And so, you know, I do think even though it's not human nature to do that, to prepare for bad things that might happen, it is possible. I do see it. I do see producers, specifically some producers, doing that fairly well. And so it is something I think that's worth giving more thought to. But again, that's probably this time of year is not the time to do that. The time to do that's back in May or June. But I think if you do that with this holidays in mind and anticipating some of these things, now's the time to pay attention, right? What's happening, right? What are the bad things that happen, unusual things that happen around the holidays, and you know, have a better understanding of that. I think you know that would help you when next May rolls around and you're thinking about, okay, how do we prepare for that better this year?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I know I tried to do was to, you know, mention if you're in a situation, you're not a farm manager and, you know, you're at the farm, the farm manager is not there because, you know, they're taking the day off and you have to make a tough decision or one that you've never made before. You know, it's always helpful to bounce those off of some people. So utilize the rest of, you know, your crew, pick up the phone and, you know, and give your veterinarian a call or, you know, utilizing another person to help you, you know, make that decision or just solidify that that was the right decision in a time when you're not usually the one that, you know, that's faced with that. And so I find that can be really helpful.
Yeah, Tara, I think that's exactly right. I suspect that if you ask most veterinarians, would you rather get a call with a question like that right before the holidays or a call saying, hey, I've just, or, you know, we just broke this sow herd. I'm guessing they'll take the former, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a quick phone call to, you know, just reassure, yep, that's how I would do it. Or maybe you could, you know, add this, right? So I think, and that's just really having a conversation, you know, with your farm staff, production managers and farm managers and veterinarians and, you know, to work as a team and say, you know, hey, we all want to be cognizant and mindful and, you know, be well prepared. So don't hesitate to give me a call.
Tara, this might be a good opportunity to you know, talk about that, you know, sort of training where, you know, our traditional approach with training has been to teach people how to do something, right? How to use a bench or how to use a shower or, you know, how to use a stage loading area. And, you know, that's great that we do that and is necessary, but it really probably is maybe less than a tenth of what we should be trying to teach them. And that is, you know, I think we really need to teach them how to identify the biosecurity hazards when they happen. And, you know, part of that is sort of also, I guess, helping them understand the why we do some of these things as well. But I truly do believe, and this is, again, comes from doing a lot of outbreak investigations and giving some presentations on this. But, you know, when we start talking about these things, the people on the farm, the farm managers and other people, you can see the light bulbs going on, right? They can see that, oh yeah, that does seem awful dangerous, right? That we're doing it that way, or that this event happened. And yeah, I can see how that maybe would create an opportunity to bring a virus in, right? And so I feel deep down in my heart that we can teach people how to identify these biosecurity hazards. Not everybody, right? There's some people that just don't really care too much about that. They just want to be told what to do and then get on with the day. And that's fine. I'd prefer not to have people like that working in the farms, but they're there and they're not going to go away. But for the ones that we can train, I think that's important that we prepare from that, because we're not going to get called. Veterinary's not going to get called unless somebody recognizes something that's a problem, right? If they don't even recognize it, then they're just going to go on about their day. And so I firmly believe that is one of the things that as an industry, we need to devote more time to and resources to, and that is training the people, not just people on the farm, everybody that's involved in the production of pigs needs to be, get a better understanding of how to identify biosecurity hazards. And by the way, that includes the person sitting behind a computer scheduling loads, right? And that, you know, that right there, we may not think about that, right? We don't normally include them on those trainings, but they make decisions every day that either create or eliminate biosecurity hazards. So,
yeah, no, that's good advice. And I think, you know, doing exercises where you promote understanding of the concepts, right? We have a lot of detail when it comes to biosecurity, but just understanding the concepts of, you know, a caring agent and, you know, mitigation steps and, you know, big picture items, whatever it is, whether it's transport or, you know, entry into a farm or a load out. I think those are really important things. And doing some interactive type training as opposed to just this lecture or a PowerPoint. There was a veterinarian that I saw do really great training with the black light powder and, you know, the shoe covers and, you know, showing just how one bench or one area of not stepping here will prevent this area from getting contaminated. And I just saw the light bulbs come on with some people, you know, that I think didn't get it before. So, yeah, absolutely. Understanding the why.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great tool. I've used that some myself. I really believe that that people can be taught how to identify biosecurity hazards.
Well, great. So just shout out to our audience. If you guys are enjoying this episode of Swine It, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it. And, you know, it's been great talking about this really, really important, timely topic. And as we kind of complete our time together, Daryl, before we get to our ending questions, share with us some final thoughts or take homes from today's discussion. You know, one tidbit that you want people to remember as they're listening to this, as we approach these holidays.
Prepare, you know, come prepared, and the time to prepare for the holidays is probably not in December. It's probably back again in May and June, when you've got time to think these things through. But, you know, at the same time, I get, because people are involved, we have to give people time to be with their families, right? And enjoy the holidays. And so that's not going to change. Right. And so I think that's an important thing to think about. So, and while I'm on it, Tara, happy holidays to you.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. MetaFarms, transforming agriculture with data-driven solutions for pork producers. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. Trial Nutrition North America, everything we do is driven by passion and backed by science. Explore MetaFarms for all your livestock production data needs. Experience our integrated software platform offering complete operational visibility from breed to market. Utilize customizable dashboards for data analysis and benchmarking. MetaFarms mobile apps enable offline access, maximizing efficiency and enhancing profitability. Visit us today at MetaFarms.
So, you know, on our Swine It podcast, we have three questions that we ask all of our guests at the end of our show, just to get to know them a little bit better, and or to have them, you know, share with us some tidbits that, you know, maybe of interest to some of our audience. So the first one is, what's a book or resource that you use in your area of expertise?
Yeah, there's a couple books I've been reading lately here that are really not in my area of expertise, but I've really found them interesting. And one is a book called The Death of Expertise. I've noted that more and more we have, as experts, we seem to be less and less trusted. And to some extent, maybe that's on us. And we have done some things that probably undermine the confidence. But it was really interesting, though. This the author is actually a military scientist, University of Harvard, on the faculty there, and he talks about some of the things that have contributed to that in the last several decades here, and so that's one book. I won't go into any more detail about that, Tara. But the other book that's really kind of caught my eye here recently is written by a evolutionary psychologist. And he actually uses Buddha and meditation, Buddhist teachings, to sort of argue that some of the things that hold us back, if you will, are things that evolution has sort of created that were beneficial for humans when we were in the hunter-gatherer phase, perhaps of evolution. And how a lot of those things can really get in the way of what we would maybe define as success today, and how I'll say a more thoughtful approach. I won't. Uh, I, I haven't even tried to meditate as Buddha would dictate or as prescribe, I guess. But trying to get in touch with that that idea that there's a lot of these things that we don't really control them, but they in some ways they control us, right? And they don't necessarily always lead to a beneficial outcome in our current environment. So a couple of books that are maybe they're a little bit more off the wall, but in both of those cases, the second book, by the way, the title is called Why Buddha is Right. So a little bit of an odd title. Both of those books are probably not what I normally read, but I would recommend both of them having gotten through them now. So.
Yeah, really interesting. I always like to hear from our guests on some new and interesting ideas or something a little bit different. So I appreciate that. So how about our last question? Share with us your thoughts about an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
Tara, that's a good question. I think, as I get older, as I've gotten closer to retirement here now, I think that probably the single most important characteristic is perseverance, right? And persistence. And that is not letting, when things don't go quite the way you hoped or maybe the way you expected, not letting that get in the way. And I would say probably more than anything, that's the key as I've gotten older. I wish I'd known that when I was younger, right? I could have used that.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for your advice. Again, a very timely topic. If you enjoyed our episode out there, please leave us a review. Your feedback is always valuable to us. And if you have a comment or an idea for a guest for our show, please, we also want to hear from you. And Daryl, great to see you again. Happy holidays to you as we move into this holiday time, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Tara.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent from Brazil without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.